All right. Well, it's been a while since I preached, so you're really going to get it because I have all this stuff stored up. Just want to talk to you a couple minutes about some things that are happening or have happened. We had a men's Italian spaghetti night and at our house, and our house was like full. It was just like jam-packed with guys, and we just had a great time. I didn't have any hospital visitations after that, so I guess the food was okay. But it was just a great time to get together and to connect, learn about each other, and I think it was just really a healthy thing. And at that time, I was just thinking about the men in the church, and so I have a challenge for you this morning. Guys, who can be available to help build a fence for the daycare on Saturday? I need about, I don't know, we need a few guys. We got to build a 75-foot fence. The posts will be in already. And what we need to do is just have some guys maybe a chop saw. I don't know who's got a chop saw. Somebody won a chop saw last time, so you can bring that, I think, at the Father's Day. Yeah, okay. and we just want to kind of start at 9:30 and just build this fence for the separation of the field there, the little playground and the grassy area, and we need to do that for licensing for the daycare. So we're gonna make have the chef Ted come we're gonna have this wonderful time together. We're gonna eat and we're gonna have fellowship. So I need some people to commit to that this Saturday at 9:30. Would you stand up? By standing up, you're committing yourself. Well, don't get everybody get up. Come on. Well, there's one up there. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. Do I hear eight? Who give me nine? Nine, 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 nine. Who give me nine? We got eight so far. Eight. Okay. You guys know who you are. God's your witness, and you have to be here. 9:30. And it might rain, I don't know, it's either raining or getting ready to rain here for this season, so what's that? Rain or shine, we'll get her done. Okay, so I just want, and if you feel that, you know, like you'd like to come, even if you came at like 11:30 and ate hamburgers, I mean, that's scriptural, that's okay, you still get the same hamburger whether you come in the morning or you come after, okay, that's the way it is, that's the parable for today, all right? In the translation. But just, yeah, if you just want to come and hang out, we're not going to have any nail guns, okay? Because I just got a picture on a buddy of mine who's a construction foreman, just ran a big nail right through his thumb. Actually looks cool to see the thumb with the nail through it and then see the x-ray. That's really cool. It wasn't so cool for him. So no nail guns, so nobody will get pinned to the wall, all right? This afternoon, following the service, we're just finishing up here on the fivefold ministry. Remember the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers? And we had people come to the front. Some of you never came to the front because you already knew that was your gifting. This afternoon, we want to have you gather with us in the multipurpose room, and we want to sit down and we want to talk in the groups of ministry that we talked about. What's on your heart? And some of you have actually come to me since we've had this five sermon series and said, you know, I feel inside of me that that's who I am and that's what I need to do. And so I want you to come as well to this. And it's going to be a luncheon, okay? We're going to have lunch. We're going to try to have, we'll start it at 12:30 and we'll try to get finished by 1:30 to 1:45. We just want to sit around the tables with the different groups, pastors, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and whoever else is there, I forgot already. And we'll just sit in dialogue. And then we commissioned you when you came forward, and we want to encourage you to start working in that gift in the church today. So we want you to come and join us. We have opportunities because moms and dads, we have child care is well provided for. So please, maybe I just, could I get a show of people that are going to stand just so we know how much We're going to have lots of food, but how many will be there today? Just for an hour, okay, just stand up all over the congregation here, okay? Some of you are kind of wondering, well, what should I do? If you came forward for any of those fivefold ministry altar calls, then I want you to come because we want a dialogue. And if you have inside of you, you know that that's the call that you have on your life, I want you to come. Okay? So at 12:30 after the service, I want you to meet in the multipurpose room and we'll join in these five different pods. We'll all have something to eat and we'll talk and we should be out of here by 1:45. It's important. We need to not just talk about stuff, but we need to do stuff. We need to start getting going. We need to do something for God, and the things that are inside of us are the things that He's called us to do, and we're going to give you that opportunity. And we're going to talk about other gifts as well. Also, there's a quick, there's a terrible tornado hurricane in Fiji, and you probably are aware of it. We have some Fijian people in our congregation, and so I have some information about some people who want to put some stuff together to ship over there. So you can go on our website and find out some information. We'll have that for you available this week. And and it's just basic things. They have nothing. So it's everything from clothing, not old clothing, but they want to ship a few containers with toothpaste and some non-perishable type foods, all sorts of things. And we can get a pretty good deal on the container. We're not going to do it RPC, but we're going to come alongside as they do it for the people in Fiji, okay? So if you are interested in that, please, we'll have more information about that next week, but check our website, we'll have everything on that. All right. So what do we do this Sunday? Talk about preparing for power, all right? And appreciate Ginger's ministry here. She not only does lots on the musical in the worship team, but she's our techie person or media person. So how many of you, one of those little batteries on your iPad, your iPod, your telephone, and you know when it's down that you have no power? So you prepare for power by plugging it in. And so hopefully you don't get a drain on yours and it can go all day, unless you're gaming or something like that. God wants you to prepare for power. He has not brought you here into this place, even this very moment, for you to not do something for Him. He has endued you with power from upon high so that you can do amazing things for Him. These things, He said, you will do and greater. That's what Jesus said. He says, I go to the Father and I send the Comforter. And then He said to stay, and we'll look at some of those scriptures, to stay in the upper room and wait till a gift from the Holy Spirit, from the Father, comes upon you. And we'll look at what that did in that day, but it's for today as well. So in Mark chapter 1, verse 9, it said, at that time Jesus came from Nazareth in the Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, He saw heaven torn open. I shared this in a devotional a couple of times already because I love the word it says torn. Not just opened, as in some of the other, Matthew and Luke both say opened, but it says torn because there's power. And out of that, when the heavens were torn open, the Spirit descended upon Him like a dove. So now we see doves all over the place when we see the Holy Spirit being depicted in a picture. It was like a dove. He was like a dove, and He came down and He landed, and he became part of Jesus. He immersed Himself in Jesus. And so can you imagine, after that, the Father says, this is My Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is a beautiful picture of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit all together. But there's a reason for this. It's an example of what God said He would do. Jesus said He would do for us, that we would be blessed with power, that we would have power inside of us. And we do. if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. So he gets the Holy Spirit, and the first thing that happens is he's sent out into the wilderness. Man, do you like that idea? Wilderness, how many of you like the wilderness? I'm not just saying with the big RV and going out to the nice lake where the fishing's good. I'm talking about the wilderness where there's no trees and it's baking hot sun and on and on and on it goes. There's not much to eat. There was nothing to eat for 40 days and 40 nights for Jesus. Not only that, but he's tempted day and night by Satan. And he's with the wild animals. I don't know about you, but I've been out in the bush hunting. I shot a moose. Actually, we had two moose at that time. What's the proper word? You know, it was actually we gutted it, but we cleaned it. that's a more politically correct. We cleaned these moose, and we put them, all the meat in the boat. And the guy I was with said, "Now look," he says, "don't worry when we go to sleep tonight, because if the bears, the grizzlies are there and the wolves, they will not come and eat all of you tonight because they'll be so full from the 1,800 pounds of meat in the boat." That's reassuring when you have that kind of confidence in the person you're with, because the grizzlies can only eat so much, so they won't eat all of you. But at night, it was like you could hear these twigs snapping, and you could hear this kind of stuff, and you know that there's animals out there that move around at night, and the hole that where we gutted these animals, there was all this remnants of what we didn't need, and the skin and the cape and the head and all that kind of stuff. And in the morning, that was gone. It was gone. In its place were big footprints from a grizzly like this, or two or three of them. And inside the grizzly footprints were wolf footprints. And that's just like not far away. So can you imagine Jesus is in the wilderness all night long with the wild animals? But the angels attended him. Just painting a picture of protection here. And this is when Jesus was 30 years old. And it says, he began his ministry. Isn't that interesting? Up to then, he didn't do ministry. He just prepared for ministry. He did everything that we do up to the age of 30. It's interesting that I went into the ministry when I was 30 years old. I'm not quite as spiritual as Jesus. And I didn't start off as powerful as he did, and I'm not that powerful except for the Holy Spirit inside of me and inside of each one of you. But he began his ministry when he was 30 years old, and Luke continues on in chapter 4, and it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing, and during those days, at the end of them, he was hungry. Go figure. I'm hungry after missing one day fasting, because I think of all the things that we ate on Thursday night. Italian spaghetti, a nice garlic toast, a Caesar salad. You know, that's where you have the heart seizure. It's Caesar salad, and then like, oh, there was shrimp, and there were prawns, and there was, wow, just really good, and dessert and everything. That's what happens when you get into the wilderness and there's nothing to eat. You think of all those good things you want to eat. And Jesus was hungry. And it says in Luke 4:14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power. It didn't get drained. He didn't have to have his battery charged up. He was charged up while he was in the midst of that. That's the kind of power we have with the Holy Spirit. We have that inside of us, each one of us. And news spread about him throughout the whole countryside. I'll tell you, if you're moving in the Holy Spirit, if you are moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, if things are happening, signs and wonders, there are going to be people that are drawn to the power of the Holy Spirit, which is a vehicle to draw them to the love of God. That we don't want to go seeking signs. We want to go seek the one who makes the signs. We want to seek the Father because this is just temporary. But God does some amazing things, and there's people in this very room and people that you're related to and people that you know that need God to intervene in their lives. And you can be the person that God would use to intervene in their lives. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, you. You think, oh, no, it's just the guys on TV. Oh, no, it's just the guys that come through once a year and hold the big crusades. No, no, it's not. It's you. If you're open and willing, and if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to fill you and use you, you will do those kind of things everywhere you are. Because opportunity will open a door and you can walk through it. So Jesus said this. He went into the church. And I can look at the only time that Jesus went to church was to mess things up. You ever thought about that? Like he only went and he got people ticked with him. That's when he went to church. Because church is a different thing for God. We are the church. It's not a building, it's not establishment, and it's not religion. Hallelujah, it's not religion. Religion is trying to find God. A relationship with God is having that and not having to try to find him. So he went in and he stirred things up. And so he really stirred him up this day because he got the scroll and he opened it up to Isaiah. And he goes, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the freedom for the prisoners, recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the years of the Lord's favor. Then he went and sat down and said, it's been fulfilled in your hearing. The religious guys really got ticked then, because that was a prophecy of the Messiah to come. The Messiah had come, and he's saying, I'm the Messiah. And they're going, no, you're not. You're Joe's kid. You're the kid that was a carpenter's son. You got no power. And it was from then on that they plotted to kill him. So that'll draw you into your ministry, won't it? Just stand up strong and tell everybody, this is what God told me, and then there was a plot to kill you. Well, you're going to die anyway. That's encouraging, isn't it? I don't know whether you knew that or not, but you're going to die. But you're not going to die because the enemy is going to take you out. You're going to die because you're going to run out of all your days. In Psalm 139, it says, all the days that you have, God knows about them before there was yet one of them. So I don't know how many I got left. But I don't really care about that because I want to be caught doing something when he comes, or I want to be caught doing something when I go. And this is how we do it, is get empowered by the Holy Spirit. So in verse 31 of chapter 4, it says, then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people, and they were amazed at his teaching because his words were with authority. When somebody speaks with authority, you know that. Somebody's just kind of hanging in there and going, I'll tell you a story about somebody else. But if you have somebody who speaks with authority, and Jesus spoke with authority, more authority than anybody else had ever seen. And so in the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon. Really? An impure spirit. And he cried out at the top of his voice, go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. What would that be like if that just happened right now in the service? Like some of you'd go, I don't know whether I like this church anymore. Honestly, because we've had it happen in our services, in some of the other church we pastored, you start talking about the demons, you start talking about stuff in the spiritual world, and some demon will start, hey, just back off, Jack. Well, I shouldn't say Jack because I said that one time. And Jack came up to me after and said, I don't appreciate you calling him Jack. So I won't call him Jack, okay? That's not his real name, okay? But you have to understand that the enemy will come out because he knows light and he's in darkness. And that's exactly what we want to do in a synagogue, in a church, in the grocery store, anywhere you are. You need to be a person who can draw out the demonic and then deal with it. We have a lot of people that need it in our world today, in our community today, and within our church. Sometimes within the people in our families, there's some demonic accesses that have come into our lives. We need to be set free. We need to be people who set people free. And so Jesus said, be quiet. And I remember when we first got saved back in the 70s, it was like, be quiet, come on, in the name of Jesus. And then the demon would go, la, 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 and then go, la, 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 and you just yell and yell. I bet you the whatever spikes is spiking there. Because it was a yelling match. Who yelled the loudest won. It's not yelling the loudest. It's knowing who you are. It's knowing having the authority of the Holy Spirit inside of you and saying, come out. You don't have to yell. You don't have to yell. Demons aren't deaf. You yell because you're scared. And I'll tell you, you'll be scared. No matter how much you do this, you'll be scared. But the Holy Spirit inside of you isn't scared. And when you see somebody set free, it's like seeing somebody born again. They just come alive and they're free. So he said, come out of him. The demon threw the man down before all of them and came out without injuring him. People have been set free in prayer lines, where we've come along and a demon's manifested and the person right next to him doesn't even know that demon's manifesting, because we have the authority in Jesus Christ and we can tell that demon to shut up. Maybe that's not good English, but it is good English to a demon. You need to say shut up. Policemen don't go, oh, please, would you just put the gun down and then we could maybe sit and have a coffee and talk about this. They say, drop it, do it now. They say that twice and then they help you drop it because they just drop you. Because they have the authority. We need the authority. People in the church today, we haven't got much time. There are people that need to know that they can be set free. And we're the people to do it. And all the people were amazed and said to each other, what words are these? With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out. And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. There are not many ministries today, a few, that deal with demons. It's kind of messy. Kind of messy when somebody's up here throwing up, spitting, frothing on the floor, and swearing. Because this is kind of a nice, gentle service. We don't want to mess that up, right? We don't like messy. Jesus does real good in messy. Jesus causes messy. And the Holy Spirit will use you in messy. And Jesus left the synagogue and went on to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and he asked Jesus to help her. So he bent down over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and at once she got up and waited on them. So Jesus set, in his first of his ministry, he set somebody free. Then he went to Peter's house and touched his mother-in-law and healed her. And at sunset, the people brought Jesus, all who had various sicknesses and diseases, and lay hands on each one of them, healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, you are the Son of God. They know. They know. But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. And in John chapter 7, Jesus was preparing his disciples. He's preparing them. He's acting in all the gifts of the fivefold ministry right now. He's preparing, equipping the church. He's preparing us today for the same thing. And he said, on the last day of the great feast, in verse 37 of John 7, Jesus stood up and said with a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow out from within them. Imagine that. Like you got this river. Not just a little trickling stream down there, but this river, it's blowing, just it's got lots of power. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. This is the preparation. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not been glorified. So Jesus said, I'm going to the Father and I will send. And so he went to the Father after the crucifixion. He sent the Holy Spirit to us. For this simple reason, in chapter 14, verily he says in verse 2, I tell you, whoever believes in me and does the work that I have been doing, and they are who will... Let me just try this a little better here. Verily, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater than these. That doesn't mean you're going to do stuff that we haven't heard of. Okay, don't. You know, there's some ministries out there are doing stuff that's not written in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, it's not him. It's not Jesus. But if it's in the Bible, you can do it through him. With the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because I'm going to the Father, he says. And what I do, wherever you ask in my... And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father might be glorified in the Son. He wants to do that inside of you. Matthew 27 says this. When Jesus had cried out again a loud voice and he gave up the Spirit on the cross, at that moment... The curtain of the temple was torn. The same word that the skies were torn open. And it started from the top and went to the bottom. And I understand that the curtain or the veil was like 22 feet high. And it was at 4 to 6 inches thick. And from the very top, it tore it open. And allowed us access into the Holy of Holies. We have no more barriers. We can go into the Holy of Holies, which wasn't allowed in the Old Testament. Jesus made the way. He is the door. He ripped that wide open in his death so that we can have access to the throne room of God. Every one of you in here who knows Jesus as his personal Savior has access. And you can hang in there with him as long as you want. So he has been preparing his disciples for the Holy Spirit baptism. One occasion in Acts it says, while he was eating with them, he gave them the command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay, well, maybe it's with the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's by the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's in the Holy Spirit. I mean, we have theologians that spend their whole life just trying to figure out what that means. I'm not really hung up on that. I know that when I got saved, I got baptized within or whatever. The Holy Spirit just became part of me, came inside of me, or actually he was already inside of me because we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Son, and we have the Father when we're born again. But I gave him the freedom inside of me to use me. And my pastor said, if you receive salvation, you might want to have the power that goes along with that. And I didn't know the baptism of the Holy Spirit could be such a controversial thing. I just thought, oh, I got Jesus and it felt good. I want the Holy Spirit inside of me to empower me. And in probably 30 seconds after I was saved, I was speaking in tongues. And my life changed right away. And matter of fact, I'm so thankful that I was speaking in tongues and I had the Holy Spirit in me because, and this will probably be encouraging for you too, there is a spiritual battle for your life. The devil does not want you to do this. He does not want you to come to Jesus and he does not want you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so that you can be used by the Holy Spirit. And so I went home that day after church and I don't know what we did, but then at night I went to bed and I was laying in my bed. And Elaine was there beside me, and I felt this heavy, heavy thing, just like somebody standing on my chest, and I couldn't breathe. And I'm going, what's this? Honestly, I didn't have enough breath to even, and I couldn't move, so I couldn't even reach over and say to Elaine, help me. And all I could remember from the day was the name Jesus. And so I got enough breath together to say, Jesus, and this thing disappeared. And I didn't know what this thing was, but it was a demon that was trying to cause me to fear what I had done for Jesus by accepting his salvation. And I knew then that salvation was real. I never experienced anything like that from the dark side. But I knew if there was something from the dark side that ugly, there's got to be something that I did that is far more beautiful. And from that point on, we've done all sorts of different types of ministry. We've been used in Elaine shared last couple weeks ago about the prophecy ministry or the prophetic ministry. I've been used in all sorts of different types, laying hands on people. There's all sorts of things the Holy Spirit uses us in if we're willing. So here's something here. It says in Acts chapter 2, when they were all on the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated them and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with another tongue as the Spirit enabled them. So why tongues? Why is this the big deal? You know, Pentecostals are really, you know, Scripture, we're going to talk about the different tongues. We're going to talk about tongues and interpretation. And we're going to talk about tongues. We'll talk about this morning. So what is this tongues thing? It's kind of scary. It's kind of spooky. Like, are you nutso? Are you a nut bar? Like, you're speaking in tongues? It's pretty easy to get away with it in this church because you have so many languages. I don't know whether you're speaking in tongues or just saying things the way you normally do. I mean, it's, I wouldn't know. There's tongues of men and tongues of angels, so like I'm stumped. Doesn't matter what I think. It's what Holy Spirit has done inside of you to give you that freedom to speak in tongues. Because there was about 14 to 17 different nations, and I won't read the scriptures up here, but they I mean, there's 120 of them out in the upper room, and when that all happened, the tongues of fire on their heads and the wind and all this kind of, they just started shouting out stuff. And that stuff went out into, because it was not like this, it was outside, and there was probably a couple million people in Jerusalem at that time. And they heard people speaking, Galilean people speaking in other tongues. So it'd be like me breaking out in some other language and you knowing exactly what I've said. And somebody else speaking another language and somebody else and not your native language and telling about the glories of God. I think when we first came here on Pentecost Sunday, I said, do it. Just everybody who has English as a second language, stand up and shout out the glories to God. That was Pentecost. And people understood. And that's what God wants, is he wants people to understand about the love and the power that is in the fatherhead. So in Genesis 11, there's a reason that we all speak in tongues. All of us speak in tongues through the Holy Spirit. And in Genesis 11, you have to go a few slides. I jumped ahead here. It says in verse 1, now the whole world had one language. Oh, man. No more ESL. It'd be NSL. Nothing is a second language. They only had one language and a common speech. So even you can have the same language, but if you live in Newfoundland and a bunch of places, you don't know because it's not a common speech. I was there. I know. I loved it. As people move eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and they settled there. And they said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. And then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make our name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the earth. Isn't that interesting that man had that kind of insight? So let's build a tower up to the heavens. Let's connect with who's ever up there, and we will be strong and powerful. And God came down to see the city, which tells me the city wasn't that big. ready to get it come down. Oh, yeah, look at, there it is. There it is. Hey, little fellas. And the tower they were building. And the Lord said, because he knew he'd given them this power inside of them, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Do you see the connection? Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. And so the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it's called Babel, because there is where the Lord confused their language, the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them all over the face of the earth. And on the day of Pentecost, they came together in one accord. That wasn't a Honda. They came together in one accord, and they spoke in tongues. And people understood them. Do you see the connection? It's important. It's important. It's just not some supernatural little thing that, well, you know, if you become a Christian, you grow a third ear so that everybody can recognize you. It's not that. It's this connective. Because, you know, when we put our mind or when we put our spirit in a Holy Spirit's control and I put our lives in that, there is nothing that is impossible with God. Nothing. And God desires that none should perish, but all should come to the saving grace of God. And it's also really important because we are limited in how we pray. We have only so many words. We don't know what to pray. We don't know how to pray. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So I want to encourage you this morning. And Pastor Stephen, where did he go? Okay, Pastor Stephen. Doesn't reflect on your job at all. I'm going to have Pastor Stephen come when he hears one. If you see him, just let me know. We want to invite you to, first of all, accept salvation through Jesus Christ, because you can't be baptized in the Holy Spirit unless you've accepted Jesus. And then we're going to have, I know where Pastor Stephen went. Well, there he is. You're trying to fix my mistakes, weren't you? Pastor Stephen, come on up here. Grab the microphone there, wherever it is. Pastor Stephen's going to give an altar call for salvation. And this morning it's going to be a little different, because I want him to, again, he did this before, one in English and one in Mandarin. And I want the people who want to accept Jesus Christ to come up to the front. So, Pastor Stephen, I want you to do that. And then following that, I'm going to ask everyone who wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, really, I want everyone who wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit that knows Jesus Christ as the personal Savior to come up on this side. And we're going to pray for you. Because we believe, I believe as your pastor, we need this power. We need this. First of all, you need Jesus. And secondly, you need the power. So Pastor Stephen, we have the team come forward as well, the music worship team. So I want you to stand, because it's a little easier to get out from the pews. And I know we usually don't have you come forward for salvation, but please understand that Jesus publicly hung on a cross for you. And so you coming forward says to the enemy, I am standing on what Jesus said, that I can be born again. So Pastor Stephen, if you'd lead in that, okay?
And friends and brothers and sisters, if you haven't never in your life get a chance to give your life to Jesus, and today, right now, is the chance. It's our opportunity to say to him, we know that you love us. You love me. And I give you everything of my life.
Amen.
That we know that when I receive you and you fill me with the peace and the joy I never experienced before in my whole life. And if you have this special feeling in your heart that you feel our Father, our good, good Father is touching you.
Amen.
Is talking to you. And our Father and Holy Spirit is his voice in us. A lot of time it's a gentle, tender voice. And he just want us to know that he loves you. He cares every detail of your life. And are you willing? And would you want to give your life? Thank you. Thank you. After you raise your hands, and please, you can put your hand down right away. And I want to just ask you, this is the opportunity. If you haven't confessed and publicly that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, I know you love me so much, and I never get a chance to accept you as my Savior, my Lord. And today, right now, is your chance to say, Lord Jesus, I love you, and I accept you in my heart. If you have this special feeling and you want to give your life to Jesus, and this today, right now, this is a chance. 如果你说中文的话, 今天早上是一个特别的机会, 将你的生命交给 爱你的主, 祂的爱永远不改变, 在你的生命当中, 祂要居首位, 掌王权, 为的是要来帮助你, 给你平安, 给你喜乐, 给你永远的生命, 你永远都没办法想象得到, 有主在你的生命当中, 有这位主耶稣, Jesus Christ, 在你的生命当中, 是多么的幸福, 多么的喜乐, 如果你有这样子的朋友, 可不可以请你这个时候你举手在主的面前我们要为你祷告。 If you have this special calling, you feel God's calling in your life, would you raise your hands and we will pray for you. We'll pray with you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, I saw it. Thank you. You can put your hand down, please. And if you raise your hands and you give your life to Jesus and just write the music started, and you could move forward to my right-hand side and your left-hand side.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So please come. I know this is a bold step, but I know I came forward. I had no idea really what that's meant. But the power of the Holy Spirit was just moving us. So please come. Maybe you didn't even raise your hand, but you want to come. So come over to this side. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just come right now. Come. This is the most important thing you can do. Just come on over here, William. Come on. Just maybe there's more. Maybe you know, sometimes we're a little bit intimidated being in a crowd. This is your family. This is the most important thing that you're going to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's some more. Come on. You can come from the balcony. You can come from the back. You can come out of the middle of the pew. Just push people down. No, you don't have to do that. They'll move out of the way for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm going to ask an invitation. I want everyone who wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to come right here, right now. Would you please come quickly? Come, just find yourself on this side right here. Just come and line up. Yeah, come, and you know the balcony, we want you to join in here. If you need the baptism, if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray with you. Come on. Some of you are wondering, I don't even know what this is. I didn't know really either, but I'll tell you something. You don't not want to have it. It's a different thing than just having Jesus Christ come into your life. And that's a significant thing. This is the power that runs the vehicle. So I want you to come forward. Hallelujah. Come on. Just, we're going to give you time. We're going to give you time to come from the balcony. Awesome. Oh, they shut me. Yeah, you should sit.
如果你是说中文的
kind of
在这里的是愿意接受主耶稣的救恩 在我的右手边，在你们的左手边，在你们的右手边，在我的左手边，这里的朋友的弟兄姐妹是要接受圣灵 Holy Spirit 充满在你的生命当中，充满在你的身上，在这边左这边的弟兄姐妹都是这样。如果您还有要被圣灵充满的好的弟兄姐妹，欢迎您来到前面，来这个区域。
Amen, Amen, Hallelujah. This is so exciting because this is the army of God. Now, there's some of you out there. How many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues? You know that you are. I want everybody. How many of up in the balcony? Okay. I want you to come down and I want you to find somebody and I want you to put your hand on them.Because we're to lay the hands on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So come on down. Come on down and find somebody. All right, if you have to sneak in the front here, sneak in the front. But just make sure that everybody has somebody, lay your hand on them. The best thing is men with men, women with women. That's the best way. So just come and find somebody. Hallelujah.Pastor Stephen, yeah, pass these bottles of oil around. Okay, those who are, we need some more people in behind here. All right, who's praying for who? I need, okay, there's a bottle of oil here. Okay, can you just pass that back? Okay, got it. Okay, just anoint somebody on the forehead with this. But before we do this, I'm going to pray jointly. Would you just pray for these people?Who have come to just know Jesus, because we want to include you in here. You want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit as well? You can explain that to them. So, salvation right now, would you just lead them in that? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, what I want is I want you to say this prayer with me. And I want the people that are praying for those who want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want you to lay your hand on them, and I want you to be a support and an encouragement. But for the people who are praying, I want you to pray this prayer. Father, say it out loud. Father, I want to receive your Holy Spirit. I thank you for Jesus and salvation. I thank you for the power that you've given us because we're vessels for you. And I want to be baptized in your Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Because I want to be in unity with you. I want to be in unity with your family. I want to be in unity with your spirit. And I want to be alive in you, and I want to move in the spirit in everything I do. So I will receive now your gift from the good, good Father. Now, I want you to just start as the band keeps, as the worship team keeps going, and we're going to just speak out what's in your heart. I'm not going to teach you how to say this, but if there's something inside of you, you just need to speak it out. And it might sound really stupid, but it doesn't matter because it's not stupid. It's the Holy Spirit moving inside of your life. And so right now, if you would do that, start just raise your hands and just say, Lord, thank you for filling me. Bless you, Lord. We need some more people around here. We need some more people to lay hands on these people. We need to anoint them with oil. Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Heavenly language, speak out. Lord, we give you glory. Go ahead and just speak out in your heavenly language. Bless his wife. Start by just saying thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Just speak out in your own language, and speak out, and God will just give you that release inside of you. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. God is working in your life right now. Hallelujah. Give him the fullness that's inside of you. Just be free. Just be free to just say the stuff that comes into your mind from the Spirit. Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and just break through and give that God. Give God glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Senior, it out. Go ahead, speak it out. You might be a little bit concerned with what you're saying, but just go say it. Just say it out to Him, because He will be receiving the praise from your new heavenly language. Go ahead and speak it out. Go ahead and speak it out. Hallelujah. Mini papa,